You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome in to the Gym Class here on KGYM for a Friday. Great to have you aboard, TGIF to one and all. Scott Unash with you from our studios here in the southwest side. Buttons on the other side of the glass. And Mark Dukes will join me coming up in a moment. A lot to get to on the program here today as we'll take a look back at Iowa and Ohio State from last night. Why are you shaking your head at me, Buttons? Why are you doing that? You know something I don't know? It's not your birthday. We had that. It's not my birthday. It's not Mark's birthday. Okay, we'll figure it out. Save it for later. Save it for... Oh, TGIF. What's wrong with TGIF? Happy Friday to everybody out there. Listening in, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. KGYM radio stream, the KGYM mobile app, and your smart speaker. Plenty of ways to listen to the program. Got a good one for you. Tom Caker to HawkeyeReport.com will join us. We'll take a look back at the top 10 battle in Iowa City last night. Ohio State coming away with the road win at Carver Hawkeye Arena. We'll kick that around with you out there as well. Super Bowl 55 coming up on Sunday. Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we will talk about that as well with you coming up in just a little bit. And plenty to get to as well. Update you on Zach Johnson's progress at the Waste Management Open down in at TPC Scottsdale in Scottsdale, Arizona. 319-366-1600. I would imagine we're going to hear a lot on the text line. If you want to reach us via the phone line, we love to hear from you out there. Again, that number is 319-366-1600. Before we get too far into the program, the weather, of course, the after effects of the storm that went through yesterday, blizzard conditions at times yesterday, still some of the streets, even though kudos to the city of Cedar Rapids, they've done a yeoman's job as far as getting things cleared, but there are still some slick patches out there, so do be careful. With that in mind, there are a few cancellations tonight as far as high school events are concerned. Our game in our South region tonight between Clear Creek Amana and Center Point Urbana. Really good girls game. Unfortunately, that has been postponed for tonight. But still on, Wash and Kennedy in the doubleheader over at Kennedy tonight. We'll have it on at 5:50 on 107.5 FM coming your way this evening. So Washington and Kennedy, the girl-boy doubleheader, that is still a go coming up tonight. And we'll have it for you, as I mentioned, at 5:50 on 107.5 FM. We bring in Mark Dukes on this sunny but very cold Friday afternoon. How you doing?
Doing well, you guys. Everyone out there, I get it. TGIF, thank goodness it's freezing.
Well, that wasn't what I was thinking, but you can come up with your own diagnosis there.
And I did.
Okay. But we got a lot to get to on the program, no doubt about that. 319-366-1600, Iowa and Ohio State. Let's start there. Well, yes, we'll get to some Iowa football news coming up in a little bit. But Iowa and Ohio State is the pressing issue and the pressing subject to talk about here, Mark. First of all, what a really wonderful game. I'll just say that last night. Just a really, really good basketball game. Obviously, if you're a Hawkeye fan, you came up on the short end of the stick. Ohio State, like we said yesterday, it's not a team that's just going to wow you as far as the stats are concerned. But between Liddell, they've got a young freshman who played his third game last night after reclassifying, leaving a 17-year-old that was going to play high school ball this year, coming in and helping things out as far as Ohio State is concerned. But the Buckeyes made some big shots at the end. Iowa did a pretty good job in Arnes until the last moment, and he hit three threes. And I've got a theory as well I'll throw out coming up in just a little bit. But tough loss for the Hawkeyes, but it was a good team they lost to.
Absolutely a good team, a top 10 team. I thought it was highly entertaining. Iowa had a bad stretch at the end, and that was the determining factor. You know, we talked with Kevin Lehman yesterday, our Off the Glass segment. We heard from listeners. What did Iowa need to do? Number one, take care of the basketball. Well, Iowa had six turnovers. Check. You needed to shoot better from three-point range, get some more support for Luka Garza. 14 threes, check. I needed Jordan Bohannon and Joe Wieskamp to be more effective, check. So in many regards, Iowa checked some boxes last night. But once again, it was the defense. And perhaps not using Joe Toussaint, Tony Perkins, down the stretch when Ohio State was making a run. I don't know the answer, but maybe it's time, Scott, to just accept the fact Iowa is never going to be a good defensive team. They're 134th in the country right now.
Yeah, and toward the bottom half as far as the Big Ten is concerned. And you and I talked about this earlier on today, and I think I'm right with you. As far as just saying flat out, you know, we've said it so many times, well, if Iowa can play defense, if they can do this, if they can stop a team. I think it's come to the point now that we can just maybe stop saying it and deal with what we have to deal with. The starting five for Iowa is not the greatest defensive unit ever to be put out there. They do one thing really, really well. Well, several things. They take care of the ball, they shoot it pretty darn well, and they can score the basketball. And when it comes down to playing key games against big-time teams, I think Iowa's just going to have to flat out outscore people to come away with a victory. And they were doing a pretty good job last night. Arns came on late, hit those back-to-back-to-back threes that were just killers for Iowa. And you can say all you want about the defense. But the biggest problem last night for the Iowa basketball team was the number 13. Not in 13 playing for Ohio State. Iowa got 13 shots from Luka Garza in the ballgame last night. Iowa fell in love with the three-point shot, and they were hitting it. I'd be the first to admit that. But you got the National Player of the Year. You've got the Wooden Player of the Year. You've got Name the Award Player of the Year. The ball must go through Luka Garza's hands every possession of the ball game. No doubt. And Ohio State, give them credit. They didn't do anything fancy. They just got big dudes in there to wall up Garza. And Luka had still a very fine night as far as his stat line is concerned, 16 points, but 16 points is not the average. And only 13 shots. Between Joe Wieskamp and Jordan Bohannon, they put up 25 shots to Luka Garza's 13. Iowa flat out forgot to get the ball inside in the last 5 minutes of that basketball game. And I think that, just as much as a defense, caused Iowa to lose that basketball game.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more about your comments regarding Luka Garza. I'm not sure it has to go through him every possession, but my goodness, you need to get he was 10 points below his average. Was that his fault? Probably not solely, but that contributed to the game as well. But back to the defense, you allow Ohio State 38 points in the last 14 and a half minutes. 38.
That's hard to do.
That stretch included 7 3-point goals. You know, that just cannot happen if you want to contend for a Big Ten championship. And right now, I don't think Iowa's a contender. Three. Even the stretch ahead and the record, Already three games in the loss column behind Michigan. Whenever they play again, who knows? But can it still have a good season? Absolutely. But you cannot allow 38 points in the last 14 and a half minutes. And I thought another key stretch was when Iowa went up 61-50 at the 14 and a half minute mark of the basketball game. Boom, boom. Dwayne Washington hits two straight threes, and Ohio State, within a matter of seconds, is back in the game. And that was a stretch that maybe Iowa could have looked inside, got it to Garza, maybe got to the free throw line, what have you. But I thought Washington's two threes were huge.
They were. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to weigh in, as Ohio State defeats the Hawkeyes last night 89-85. Iowa next in action Sunday morning, Super Bowl Sunday, when they take on Indiana in Bloomington. That'll be on Fox. That is a national broadcast beginning at 11 o'clock. 319-366-1600. The other thing that really caused me pause last night, Mark, was the fact that the minutes distributed as far as Iowa is concerned last night, a little bit head-scratching, if you will. Jack Nungy played really well again. Give Jack Nungy all kinds of props. 23 minutes. He deserved to play 23 minutes. But Iowa, without one of their starters, basically went with seven guys last night. Joe Toussaint did not get much playing time. You thought without C.J. Frederick we would see more of Tony Perkins. Did not until the very end when Iowa was doing line changes between offense and defense. I found that a little bit odd, to be honest with you. And Fran McCaffrey says he goes by feel of the game. It was a three-point shooting game. Joe Toussaint's not a great three-point shooter. Perhaps that had a lot to do with it. But I thought it was a little bit head-scratching as far as the substitution patterns were concerned last night, or the lack thereof.
Yeah, we've talked about 10, 11-man rotations, and Toussaint only got 7 minutes. And Fran McCaffrey said after the game that, in retrospect, he probably should have used Toussaint and or Perkins more. Well, hindsight is too late. Seven-man rotation, you know, Iowa has more depth than that. And let's just throw in C.J. Frederick. He was not available last night. He means a lot to this basketball team, Scott. I think you would agree.
Yep.
I think he's a very good defender. And obviously he can make shots from the outside. He was hitting almost 50%, I think, when he suffered that leg injury. So I was going to be better when Frederick gets back.
No doubt about it. On the text line, 9663 asking how many free throws did Iowa miss? They missed six. Iowa was 11 of 17 from the free throw line last night. Ohio State was 13 of 19. They also missed six free throws. Iowa was in the game because two 90-plus percent free throw shooters missed free throws at the end, or that thing could have been buttoned up with about 80 seconds left, to be honest with you, last night. That's another glaring stat. Iowa, the show, they fell in love with the threes last night. Iowa only got 17 free throws at home. Didn't get as many as Ohio State attempted, and that's pretty rare on the road.
It is, and let's also give credit to Ohio State because they made an equal number of three-point shots, but they made them down the stretch in that period of the last 14 and a half minutes, seven threes in that span of time. And Iowa, you know, didn't do much in the last 4 minutes offensively. And that was really – you got to give Ohio State credit. Look where they've won on the road. This is an extremely good basketball team, and it's no disgrace to lose to that team by four. But I will say, if you want to be a contender in the Big Ten Conference, you got to have that game.
27-23. Lucky Iowa is where they are at. Could be worse. Suddenly Sunday becomes a really, really big game, even though it is on the road tough place to play. Assembly Hall in Bloomington. Already lost to the Hoosiers once. Indiana desperately needs another quality win. You take a look at things, like you said, Mark, earlier on. Iowa now 3 games behind Michigan. Big Ten regular season championship, not completely out of the question, but I think you can only probably lose one more if you're Iowa to have a legitimate shot at it. And again, this is just Joe Lunardi in bracketology. Iowa moved down one seed line. They went from a 2 to a 3. Ohio State stays at a 2 as far as their seed line is concerned. So it's not the end of the world as far as that is concerned, for what it's worth. A winnable game against a very, very good opponent. Was this worse than the last couple of losses, I guess? 319-366-1600 if you'd like to comment on that.
Yeah, it is a big game Sunday, but it seems like we say that each and every game, each and every week. And I was certainly capable of beating Indiana, whether it's in Iowa City or on the road. Iowa went through that horrible second half stretch against the Hoosiers and dropped a game by 12. That might have been Iowa's worst game of the year. I'm not sure about that, but open to conjecture. A lot of good things ahead yet for Iowa. I mentioned Frederick getting back in the lineup will help. You know, even if Iowa doesn't win a Big Ten championship, it still has the tournaments, hopefully, to play for. So, we're at the just past the halfway mark of the big season, and I still think a lot to play for.
Yeah. Joe Wieskamp with the double-double last night. Good to see Jordan Bohannon get back at it from beyond the arc. He was 4 of 8 from three-point range in the ballgame last night. So that there were silver linings. And if Iowa was not playing, if the Iowa plays a lesser opponent, they win that game last night. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And maybe that makes you feel a little bit better. I don't know. But you got to play 40 minutes against Ohio State. And unfortunately, like you said, the defense giving up all the points in the last 15 minutes and a couple other things added up to a defeat at Carver-Hawkeye last night. So, tough one.
Ryan and Walford weighing in on the text line. It's not like we lost to Nebraska. That was a battle between two teams that have Final Four potential. It feels like we let it slip away, but Iowa is still a very good basketball team.
Yeah, I agree, Ryan. Very astute assessment, I believe, on your part. 3:23, we're going to get to Tom Cakert coming up here in just a couple of moments. We'll talk more about Iowa and Ohio State from last night. We'll talk to Tom. We'll talk about the Super Bowl. Wanted to get a couple of tidbits in here, Mark. First of all, Iowa football and the rest of the Big Ten, some tweaking as far as the 2021 football schedule is concerned. The big news is that Iowa, Nebraska back on and back to Black Friday for 2021. Knock on wood, we hope.
Yeah, that's the headline news as far as Iowa goes. 6 dates on the original schedule that was released in 2017. 6 dates have been affected. Iowa's schedule in September is intact. Indiana at Iowa State, and then home games against Kent State and Colorado State. The Maryland game has been moved up to the first weekend in October. Penn State stays the same. Iowa had a bye week the 16th of October. That will now be the 23rd, as Iowa will play Purdue, on the 16th. Tough stretch, October 30 and November 6th, back-to-back games on the road against Wisconsin and Northwestern. And then finishing up, as was previously scheduled, Minnesota and Illinois. And then that change. Iowa was scheduled to play Wisconsin in the season finale, and now it is Nebraska on Black Friday.
Yep, Iowa and Nebraska will go at it on that particular Friday, the last Friday of November. On the text line and 98.43, kudos to the Ohio State AD for going and hiring a coach from Gardner-Webb. Chris Holtman is a great coach. He did have this small stop in Indianapolis at Butler between Gardner-Webb and Ohio State, though. But I get your meaning, 98.43. Thank you for the assessment. We're going to get Tom Cakert on the horn right now. Go ahead and buttons. Zach Johnson update before we get to break, though.
Yeah, it was going fairly well in his second round. He was 2 under par on the day, threw 5 holes, 5 under for the tournament, but suffered a double bogey on the par 5 15th hole, knocked one in the water. Couldn't get up and down. In fact, did make double bogey there. So threw 6 holes on the day, Zach, at even, -3 for the tournament, which may end up being the cut line.
Steve Stricker. For our generation, Mark, leading, tied for the lead with Keegan Bradley at 11 under.
It's a good story if it can continue. He's, of course, the Ryder Cup captain, 53 years old, and probably wouldn't be out here if he wasn't the Ryder Cup captain. He says he wants to be around these players, see what they got, so he can representatively pick a team. He'd normally be on the Champions Tour right now, but he's out there and obviously competing very, very well.
And we have a Jordan Spieth sighting. He is at 8 under par. Justin Thomas had a big day today. He went low at -6. He is just outside the top 10. Going to take a break. Come back. Tom Cakert joins us. We'll talk more about Iowa and Ohio State and other Hawkeye reports for you when we come back.
From kitchen tables on years-old laptops, your employees scrambled to help keep your business running when things got crazy. Now, as work from home settles in for a longer haul, some computers will need to be replaced. Do it right with help from Network Computer Solutions. They sell business-grade computers that stand up to heavy workloads and interface correctly with your network. Make sure your people have the equipment they need to keep up their impressive, productive pace. Get in touch with local, friendly Network Computer Solutions at ncsei.com.
Hey folks, this is Alex Kuhn from KGYM. I've got to take a minute to give a shout out to FanDuel Sportsbook. They found the perfect way for everyone to get in on the action this Sunday. I'm talking about Big Game Bingo. You can claim your free Big Game Bingo card right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. The card automatically fills up as you're watching the game, so once you've filled 5 squares in a row, all you have to do is call Bingo to claim your share of $100,000 in prizes. That's right, FanDuel is giving away $100,000 in prizes for free. FanDuel is the exclusive home for Big Game Bingo, and your card is waiting for you right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. The app is so easy to use, and it takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. There are more ways to win on FanDuel during the big game, but there's no excuse to miss out on this one. Big Game Bingo is perfect for everyone. You can win your share of $100,000 in prizes, and it's absolutely free to play, only on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
What does your small business want from a healthcare plan in these changing times? You want employees to have access to the largest network of doctors. You want flexible plans to fit your needs and your budget. But mostly, you want peace of mind, knowing your employees and company will be taken care of. It's why 8 out of 10 small businesses choose Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. See how we can help you take control. Find your best plan at wellmark.com/business.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Right back with you on the gym class at 329 here on KGYM on a Friday. Thank you very much for joining us. Wash and Kennedy, doubleheader tonight at 107.5 FM at 550. Girl-boy doubleheader. Our 106.3 FM game, unfortunately, is postponed for tonight, so you will get ESPN programming. 45-70 on the text line, Mark. Read Columbus Papers coverage of the game. Pointed out that Dwayne Washington was 5 of 30 in his previous 3 games. That was pointed out several times by both Dan Shulman and Jay Billis when they were not talking about Duke, North Carolina.
Who cares?
What got more talk, Duke, North Carolina, or the Iowa-Ohio State game that was going on?
Well, I think the guys did a nice job on ESPN, but it did get nauseating, so much talk about two unranked teams.
Yeah. By the way, we will have Duke, North Carolina coming up tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
Forget about what I said.
Westwood One will have that coverage. 107.5 and 106.3 FM coming up tomorrow. I had to throw that in because that's promo material right there. That Buttons is shaking his head. All right, Tom Caker at HawkeyeReport.com, kind enough to join us here on a Friday at 3:30 here in Eastern Iowa on KGYM. And, cold enough for you, Tom?
It is. Mark, would you call that Scott just buried the lead there a little bit?
Yes, very much, Tom.
I kid. I get it. I understand. North Carolina Duke's their bread and butter. So, but it did get a little nauseating last night as the play. Two top 10 teams are playing and they're scoring at will. Things looking good. And we're just talking about two unrated teams that are going to meet on Saturday. There's a Patrick McCaffrey dunk. Duke's got guys that can do that, don't they, Jay? I kid. All right, back to the game last night, Tom. We've been talking about it, kicking around with the texters and the listeners here, and I don't think you can get too down. Two really good teams going at it, and I think if it was a lesser opponent, Iowa probably wins that game last night, but did a few things wrong, and it added up to just a tick of a loss to Ohio State.
Yeah, I think the thing that is frustrating for Iowa fans is now it's, you know, three losses, in pretty short time frame, and they didn't play great against Michigan State either and had to really scuffle to get that victory. And I think that's probably what's alarming Iowa fans. Now, let's also keep things in perspective here. I was just looking at the Ken Pomeroy's rankings, which are kind of the gold standard for college basketball. And Iowa has five losses, according to Ken Pom, and they have three of them against the top eight teams in the country. So let's kind of keep one of them was on a neutral site, one of them was on the road, and the other one at home. So let's also keep it in perspective. And two of those losses were essentially one possession games coming down to the final, 30 seconds of a basketball game. So, but having said that, Iowa's defense has got to get better. They have to be able to get stops. Otherwise it's, the aspirations that I think a lot of Hawkeye fans have for this season and this team has for this season are going to end up unmet.
Tom, as you watched inside Carver Hawkeye Arena, I wanted to get your observation about Luka Garza. He scored 16, 10 below his average. Was it more Iowa's strategy or Ohio State's strategy?
I think it was more Ohio State, and I think you're seeing something with other teams. And, Luka had 27 and 10 the other day. So, I mean, he's going to score a lot, and he's still scoring a lot. But I saw a kid, and Rob Howe tweeted this out earlier today, and I meant to look it up in just the recent numbers, 11 of 21 the last three games from the foul line. And Luka had been, it's something he'd worked on really hard, and he'd been shooting, up above 70%, and he's really kind of – I wonder if he's tired. I wonder if he's kind of taken a beating. And it doesn't help that they're playing all these games in a row, playing the Indiana and Illinois and the Michigan State game, and then kind of 48 hours later you're playing against a really good Ohio State team. Maybe those legs just aren't there, and with the the beating and the contact that he's taken. You can train all you want, but, you know, a body's going to give out eventually. And not to say Luka's given out, but just that it's showing up in his, foul shooting that his legs and body are probably getting beaten up a little bit.
See if you agree with me on this, Tom. They did it very well last night, and it was great to see Jordan Bohannon step up. Joe Eastcamp hit some threes. Great to see Jack Nungy continue his play. But you got to give Ohio State's bigs some credit as well, but I thought Iowa fell in love with the three-point shot way too much at the end last night, and they just forgot about Luka Garza getting it inside a lot in the last 5 minutes. Agree or disagree?
I agree. Who would have thought Luka's last field goal was when Iowa went up by 11 points, 61 to 50, with 14:29 left in the game. That was the last time he made a shot in the game. And that's a little weird. That was just a really key point in the game. Luka had hit that three, and Iowa, it seemed like at that point, was ready to kind of put this in cruise control and put Ohio State away and maybe get a couple stops, get a couple buckets, push it to 15, and then you can kind of, just grind it out. And they never got there because then Washington hits those two threes back-to-back. Aaron's kid, who's been a tormentor of Iowa, when I wrote my preview, I was like, watch this guy. Remember, 25 points in the second half a couple years ago, and he's been shooting it pretty well lately. And sure enough, after he misses like four shots in the first half, gets hot, makes some shots down the stretch to really kind of put the game away.
Tom, in your estimation, how much does C.J. Frederick's absence affect this team?
I think you're seeing that in front of everybody. It's and CJ's not a big scorer. He's less than 10 points a game, but he shoots 50% from threes, a low mistake guy. He's probably the highest IQ basketball-wise on the team, I think, just the low mistakes. And they miss him. They miss his steady presence. He's a good cutter, always makes the right pass, the right move, the right defensive play. He's just a consummate, really good, solid player. And now it moves Keegan Murray, who is thriving coming off the bench. Now he's in a different role, and everybody else is in a different role. And I think you're seeing that play out, that it's just, Connor McCaffrey's in a different role and now because he's more of a two, and it's all very different for them. I kind of threw out today that maybe you take Keegan out of the starting lineup, put him back off the bench where he was, and he's not doing bad as a starter, but it's just maybe he's, a better player coming off the bench, and you throw Joe Toussaint out there as the starting point guard, take some of that burden off of Jordan, and he can move to the two guard, and you have the rest of your starting lineup, and maybe that's a better solution because you can get a better defensive guard out there on the floor for more minutes.
Tom Kaker from HawkeyeReport.com joining us 3:38 on the Friday edition of the Gym Class. Is it time maybe to approach this differently? Is it time to just say, okay, this is not a very good defensive team, and when they do play good defense, maybe celebrate that a little bit more than just trying to go into every game saying, oh, they can just stop this guy from shooting threes and this guy from shooting threes. I don't know. I guess it's just a perspective thing.
I threw out today that Iowa is a deep enough team that I think Fran McCaffrey could be a little more aggressive in using the bench as a motivator for better defense. And if guys are not stopping the ball, if they're not getting in position, if they're not rotating on their slides on the when they're playing zone, you just yank them out. Doesn't matter who it is. Just yank them out, have them sit down for a few minutes and think about it. And have some consequence. And then maybe you'll get better defensive performance because you've got guys on that bench like Toussaint, like Tony Perkins, like Jack Nungy, even down to Chris Murray, guys that could come in there and they're hungry to play and willing to play. And you saw that last night with the kind of the hockey lines when they were thrown out there at the end with the wholesale substitutions. Those guys are hungry. Aaron Ulis is hungry to play. And maybe you just use that bench as a motivator and a teacher. There are a lot of coaches who've done that over the years.
Tom, as you know, the 2021 Big Ten football schedule was revised today. Why?
I think it was mainly because there were some there were some things that popped up with the schedule, the way they revised it for 2020 and the way they did things for 2020 on the fly that ended up with some odd decisions, like playing 3 years in a row, on a rival's home field and different things like that. So they were trying to figure that out and get that fixed. So from Iowa's perspective, really the only major difference, I think, was just moving the Nebraska game back. And that's what everybody wanted anyway. So we got what we wanted, and I think Nebraska fans wanted, and, you know, those of us in the media wanted. We all wanted Black Friday, Nebraska. We didn't want it to go away to begin with, and now it's back. So I think it's interesting that the last five games are also the divisional games, and that's going to be really interesting, as is the start of the season. I mean, Indiana, story of the year for the Big Ten, and they'll have Michael Penix Jr. back at quarterback, and you play them to open, and then you have Iowa State, who will be loaded and certainly maybe a touchdown favorite against Iowa on September 11th.
You're not kidding. This is a daunting schedule that is put forth for Iowa, and only one off week, too. It happens just about in the middle of the season, and it'll be whatever. Every coach says it's the perfect time, so it's going to be the perfect time. Iowa has a possibility of starting off playing. You know Iowa State's going to be in the top 10. Indiana is going to be at least in the top 20 coming right out of the chute before you get a really bad Kent State team, though.
Yeah, Kent State, and then Colorado State could be frisky maybe, and you got a trip to Maryland and you don't know what to expect there. Back to back against home games in Penn State and Purdue, and you know, Purdue's been a thorn in Iowa's side, and then you've got all those games at the end. That's I think coming off that bye, you got at Wisconsin, at Northwestern. Who's been a bigger thorn in the side of Iowa than Wisconsin, who they got last year, but still thorn, and then pass Cats. I mean, they've gotten Iowa over and over again.
Tom, it was a letter of intent signing date this week, and not what it has been in the past because of the early signing period. My question for you is that when the racial disparity thing came down last summer, and it was a very serious situation, some thought that it was really going to damage Iowa's recruiting. As I look at it, that doesn't appear to be the case.
Yeah, it did not in 2021 at all, really. And credit to Iowa for holding the class together, because that was the big thing with this group, was they had a lot of the stuff done. I mean, most of this class was already committed by the time that story broke in June. So you had all the main guys. The only guys that they really added were Joey Labus, and then the Carson Scherer, and then the two late guys, Michael Mislinski and Devin Hilson. And these guys stuck together, and you don't see that very often when you have something like that happen. So I think they just kind of all built a pretty strong relationship with each other during that the time down with COVID and everything. So I think the real test is going to be the 2021 group, because these guys that had committed or that were part of 2021 have been on campus a ton. They've been to Iowa City several times. They know the staff. They know everything. The 2022 guys, that's not the case. Most of them haven't been on campus. They don't know these coaches. They haven't had a chance to sit down with players to find out what it's really like at the University of Iowa. So once this the moratorium on no visits gets lifted, hopefully April 16th, it's going to be a huge time for Iowa to get guys on campus to kind of reestablish some of their credibility, especially with African-American players.
Yeah, good point. Good point right there. And you mentioned the young man out of Des Moines North, and it's a really good story, just on many, many different levels. And I think he's definitely a project, but I think he's one of those guys that is the prototypical late recruit guy that comes in for Kirk Ferentz and could pay dividends down the road.
Yeah, we've seen those guys over the years, haven't we? We've been going back to like Alan Reisner or
Josie Jewell,
Tanner Miller, Brandon Myers, guys like that. Josie Jewell was a kind of a late guy. Mike Elgin, going back many years, another guy that they got late. I always used to call those guys the Reese Morgan guys. That's the guys that Reese would probably pound in the table in the room saying, "We got to offer this guy. He's an in-state kid. He's gonna thrive here." And this is what, you know, Hilson comes in. They missed on some running backs, so they're going to give him a shot there. And great story. You know, it's been 40 years since Des Moines North had a Power 5 kid, and kid had some great issues, took care of all of his business, and got himself in a position where he could be offered a scholarship to the University of Iowa.
No doubt, no doubt. What about how big is back to basketball, Super Bowl Sunday in Bloomington, and still an outside shot for a Big Ten regular season title, maybe a share. Who knows if Michigan ever gets back on the court or whatever. But you got to get a win right now. And you're going up against a team that also needs another quality win, already has one over you. So I guess it's a broken record. The next game in the Big Ten is even maybe bigger than the last one.
Yeah, it almost feels like, I guess, a little bit of a revenge spot for Iowa, but also a spot where it's almost like a must get for Iowa. It's like a must win for them, that they've got to get this one to kind of get back on track. It was interesting talking to the guys last night after the game on Zoom. I always get the sense after like the previous Indiana game, the Illinois game, there was some anger after those games. This is not going to happen anymore. And just, you know, these guys were ticked off. And last night, it was like they were down. It was like somebody kind of gut punched them a little bit more. And I'm curious how they respond, because I hadn't seen this team has a lot of swagger to it. And it just seemed like that swagger light kind of that was out of their eyes. And they weren't angry. They were just sort of down. And Frank's got his hands full, I think, trying to get this team recovered from this one. He's going to have to earn it a little bit here in the next 2 days.
Keep up the great work at HawkeyeReport.com, Tom. Always a pleasure talking with you, and we'll talk to you down the line.
Okay. Thanks for having me on, guys. Always enjoy it.
All right. Tom Caker at HawkeyeReport.com joining us here at 3:48 on a Friday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next. They have another opportunity in your final one this week to win a $50 gift card to Hertin & Stocker Jewelers on the Penn Mall in downtown Iowa City. Since 1947, the Dickens family has been helping customers with their Valentine's Day needs. Choose from diamonds, bracelets, watches, sterling silver, and fine jewelry, and even Hawkeye treasures. Hertin & Stocker Jewelers.com. That is their website. Go there for more details. We'll take a break, come back. Super Bowl is coming up on Sunday, the Chiefs and the Buccaneers. And Mark and I will talk about that with you when we come back.
I've been banking with Midwest One since I started Velvet Coat.
We're talking with Michelle Galvin from Velvet Coat Boutique about Midwest One Bank.
I'm a huge advocate for downtown. Midwest One is part of the downtown community, but they're also everywhere you need them. I would compare Midwest One to Velvet Coat in that we can put a face with our clients. I've always banked with Midwest One. Every step of the way has been so easy for me. It gives me peace of mind to know that I have a solid banking partner.
Midwest One Bank, simply better banking. Member FDIC.
Hey folks, this is Alex Kuhn from KGYM. I've got to take a minute to give a shout out to FanDuel Sportsbook. They found the perfect way for everyone to get in on the action this Sunday. I'm talking about Big Game Bingo. You can claim your free Big Game Bingo card right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. The card automatically fills up as you're watching the game, so once you've filled five squares in a row, all you have to do is call Bingo to claim your share of $100,000 in prizes. That's right, FanDuel is giving away $100,000 in prizes for free. FanDuel is the exclusive home for Big Game Bingo, and your card is waiting for you right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. The app is so easy to use, and it takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. There are more ways to win on FanDuel during the big game, but there's no excuse to miss out on this one. Big Game Bingo is perfect for everyone. You can win your share of $100,000 in prizes, and it's absolutely free to play, only on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
Watch your favorite TV channels now with help from Menards. Receive local HD digital broadcast channels for free with the help of RCA antennas. Watch the big game or catch up on the latest shows without the need for a cable subscription or an internet connection. An RCA amplified indoor TV antenna is perfect for better reception. Pick it up now for $14.99 at Menards. Sale prices are good through Saturday, February 13th.
Save big money at Menards.
I'm Governor Kim Reynolds. COVID-19 isn't bigger than Iowans' resolve to overcome it. Together, we can stop the spread of the virus and get life back to normal by taking simple steps to protect ourselves and others. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, stay home if you're sick, get tested, and isolate from others if you have the virus, and get a flu shot to prevent further illness. Doing these things will protect you and those most at risk. Let's step up and stop the spread together.
Sponsored by the State of Iowa and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
Back with you at 3:51, about 8 minutes remaining here on the program. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes with you. It is a gym class for a Friday here on KGYM. Monday, we will talk with Mike Halas. He will be in Bloomington for Iowa and Indiana. We'll talk about that and more coming up for you on the Monday edition of the gym class, starting at 3 on KGYM. We told you the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next. That will include Drive Time at 5 o'clock, driven by Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. High school basketball coming up tonight for you, 550, 107.5 FM. Kennedy hosting Washington in a girl-boy doubleheader. We'll have that for you coming up at 550. The 106.3 FM game tonight has been postponed due to poor road conditions. 319-366-1600. Super Bowl, Mark, the Chiefs and the Buccaneers coming up on Sunday. Our coverage begins at 1 o'clock, and really looking forward to it, obviously. And the game, Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes. And if you thought we heard Duke, North Carolina talked about a lot, of course, we've heard that all this week with the two quarterbacks, as well as it should, I guess. The quarterbacks are the story, and they are the biggest story of all the big stories at the big game this week.
Yeah, and rightfully so. The storylines are obvious, and we're going to hear a lot about them on Sunday, starting with our pregame here on KGYM. Let me get the poll question in here, Scott, because it's a simple, straightforward one brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City, thanks to Steve Anderson and his team. Which team wins Super Bowl 55 Sunday night in Tampa? Kansas City or Tampa Bay? You want me to go first or you?
Go ahead.
All week, Scott, better part of these 2 weeks leading up to the game, I was convinced that Kansas City was going to win. I've switched. I think Tampa Bay is going to win this game. Despite the fact that the stadium is not going to be packed, I do think the home field advantage, I mean, you just got familiar surroundings. That's a comfort zone for Tampa Bay. And I think Tom Brady's kicked his family out of the house for 2 weeks to prepare for this game. Listen, I think Kansas City's got a tremendous number of weapons, a tremendous playbook. It's just a feeling, Scott. I hope I'm wrong for your sake, but It's just a feeling.
That's fine. I respect your decision. I feel better this year than I did last year. I'll say that. I don't know what the heck that means, quite frankly. And I probably should excuse myself from the room as far as the discussion is concerned. Buttons looks at me like, yeah, you should. As everyone knows, I am a Kansas City Chiefs fan, lifelong Kansas City Chiefs fan, and I will be rooting for the Chiefs, and I will pick the Chiefs in this game. What Kansas City did to Tampa Bay, unless Tampa Bay comes up with a pretty radical change as far as the defensive schemes that they throw out there is concerned, and they might. They tried something. They have not done a good job this year defending the tight end, and I think they were worried about that in the first matchup, and all that did was allow Tyreek Hill to go absolutely crazy in the first half. They cannot have that happen again. So I do think you're going to see Travis Kelce get a little bit open. The Chiefs' defense has been better. I think Kelce is going to be the bigger X factor this week because of the fact that the Chiefs had to move around the offensive line again. They are going to move Remmers out to the left tackle spot. Wiley's going to move to the right tackle spot with Eric Fisher out with the Achilles injury. He will not play. He is out for the game. Chiefs are going to, I think Patrick's going to get the ball out a little bit quicker. And I think the Chiefs are going to probably use Edwards-Helaire a little bit more. I think Williams is going to play a big factor in this game. And if the Chiefs can get some pressure on Tom Brady, and they blitzed a lot the first time around, Brady tends in his advanced age in the NFL to get rid of that ball quickly. He doesn't want to get hit, and I don't blame him. And the Chiefs did a very good job of that in the last game. And I'm going to go with it. I think the Chiefs win by 7 or 8-ish.
You touched on it. I'm a little concerned about that Chiefs offensive line. I know they patched it together in the conference championship game. This Tampa Bay defense is strong. They're hot. Shaq Barrett, Jason Pierre-Paul, among others. That's going to be a challenge for the Chiefs, and you might have hit on something in terms of Mahomes getting rid of the ball quicker, maybe to Kelce, maybe to Hill, who knows. But that's a matchup I think worth watching.
DeMarcus Robinson has practiced today. He's been cleared. Looks like he will play backup center. Also, looks like if he passes the final test tomorrow, he will play. Buttons, who do you like? Who do you like? Let us know. Chiefs? Buttons likes the Chiefs. You're outvoted 2-1, Mark.
We should revisit on Monday then, right?
Yes, we will. We will talk about the Super Bowl coming up at that time. And just hope it's a good one. We'll have it for you at 1 o'clock starting this Sunday. All four of our frequencies right here on KGYM. And hope everybody has a safe Super Bowl Sunday and a safe weekend, as could see some more snow coming our way here in Eastern Iowa. We shall see. Girl-boy doubleheader tonight, Washington at Kennedy. Looking forward to bringing you the ball games. 107.5 FM, the Jim OT, will be your home for that coming up at 5:50 this evening. More Iowa-Ohio State talk with Todd and Alex coming your way next. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. All right, Mark, we will reconvene coming up on Monday starting at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, we'll talk commercials then, right? Okay. I'll talk to you then.
Duke, North Carolina. Yeah. All right, you've been listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM. We'll talk to you tonight over at Kennedy. Have yourselves a great weekend, everybody.
Siebke Hoyt is bundling for Valentine's Day. You bet we're bundling in a big way. You see, we believe you should celebrate Valentine's Day with jewelry. But